Yeah, we'll see if it works. Are we done in the back, gentlemen? Good. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for gathering us together tonight. Again, Lord, we thank you for those who come out and make your word a priority in their life. We so desperately need this with each other in fellowship and friendship in you, Lord. And bless your word as it goes forth. And as I know we have all been fervently praying for the Warren family, Lord, we continue to lift them up in our prayers. And Lord, like you told me, that if we only believe, that we will see the glory of you in all of this. In Jesus we pray, amen. John asked me what this was about tonight, and it's about Christ. I don't ever have one topic to teach on for 45 minutes, but I do have the topic of Christ. And I want to teach a little bit more on what I talked about last Tuesday night, that ear being nailed to the doorpost. In Philippians 3, it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." So this gives me encouragement. I can teach the same thing I taught again. It also continues in chapter 3 of Philippians. It says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." And in Colossians 2:11 through 14, it says, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." And I heard that, beware of the mutilation. Beware of those who mutilate the gospel of Christ. We don't live in a world of circumcision and uncircumcision for righteousness. But we do live in a time where they will not endure sound doctrine, where they will heap up for themselves teachers having itchy ears. So beware of the mutilation of the gospel. Beware of those who say it is about doing and trying. Trying your best and doing your best. Beware of this. We were just at a meeting last night where that was the message taught. Great guy. But the message was, do your best and try your best, and you'll be happy with yourself. This is not the gospel. Beware of this. When the good news, the gospel, is it's about it is finished, it is done, and we are dead. We are dying. Not about doing and trying, but done and dying. This is the good news. Because if you know, like I have, if you try and try your best, it leaves you disappointed every time. You're exhausted. You're disappointed with yourself and those around you. Yeah, and pleasing God isn't an exhausting effort on our part. It shouldn't be. But just a continual walk to his cross daily. Dying and denying ourselves. This isn't a burdensome task. And there's never a situation where I had to deny myself, though it might have been painful. I never lamented over where I denied myself. And something I wanted to do, I wanted to react. I wanted to act in my flesh. And I've never, ever once, when denying myself, had to lament and repent from that. Those things have been painful. Dying and denying. And then that's the only sacrifice that we have. Nothing we have, no gift that I have is mine. It was a gift from God. If I'm good at this, God gave me that ability. If I'm good at that, God gave me that ability. There's no sacrifice that's mine that I can offer to God, because he gave me every talent I have. But the only thing I do have to sacrifice to him is a right to myself. And in that I can please God. And in that we can all please God. Oh, and what if God, and what God would do with that man or woman that would completely give up their right to themselves? Let's all be them men and women. What, plenty of opportunity, probably on the way home, tomorrow, to just lose that right. We have none. For he paid for us. He gave us life. So again, the ear nailed to the cross. Deuteronomy 15, verses 16 and 17. The ear nailed to the door. The ear nailed to the cross. And if it happened that the servant said to the master, I will not go away from you, because the servant loves the master and his house, since he prospered with him, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Proverbs 8:32 and 36 says, now therefore, listen to me, my children. Be blessed, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord, but he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. He says, waiting at the post of my doors, and where we're going to find life. It's the cross of Christ. This is the entryway. This is the only way. And then I think of the lukewarm church, where he stands knocking at the door. This is us. The lukewarm church. This is our dispensation. And he says, I stand. Behold, I stand and knock. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he will hear me. And I think about that ear pierced to the door. To hear that knock. To have our ear pierced to that cross. He says, I'm sitting there. And the only way to come to me is through the cross. That's it. That's the door. That's the doorway. And that's the door we're to be pinned to, waiting to hear that knock. Psalms 118, 19, and 20 says, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them. It's the cross. And I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. This cross of Christ is the doorway. It is the gate to himself. There is no other way. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Having our ear pierced to this because we love our master. And where else would we go? We have been set free from our master Jesus, set free from sin and death. Now the question is, what are we doing with that freedom? Everybody in this room have eternal salvation, apart from works? What are you doing with that? Are you life for God to serve you? Are you living a life for you to serve God? Are we unwilling to leave, like Peter, when the hard things of the word strike us? But Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Like the servant that was set free in the law of Moses, but unwilling to leave because he loved his master, or have we used this liberty to serve ourselves? I've been saved by grace, I know, but is that where it stops? And unfortunately, so many Christians stop here because we don't know the word well enough to know what pleases him. We say we love you, Lord, but how does that look from God's perspective? Romans 6, 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were tied to his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. 1 Corinthians 15:34. There's a real trap in Christianity about being good people. It's a mutilation of the gospel is what it is. Doing and trying and not awakening to the righteousness of God through faith. The righteousness we receive from God through faith and faith alone, lest any man should boast. Like I said before, if it ain't Christ, it ain't right. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use that liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Galatians 5:13. Like I said, we say, I love you, God. Do we? He tells us how we can show that love to him through his word. And not from our perspective, but from his. Do we use the love of God for opportunity for our flesh? Lord, you saved me, but I'm going to just keep living my life. I love you, Lord, but I'm not willing to have my ear pierced at that door. Still want to do my own thing. Is it a lust or a love that we have for him? Lust is receiving, love is giving. For God is love, and he gave his son not only to die for our sins, but to live for our righteousness. And lust is totally dependent on how something or someone makes us feel. I thought I'd been in love many times in my life, and now that I know what love is, I've been in lust. And when we don't receive that feeling or pleasure from the object or person that we believe we're in love with, we become bitter. And this is why I know this is true. John 14:21. For here's how God says that we love him. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Very plain, very simple. Are you receiving his commandments? Are you keeping them? John, what did you say? James 1:21. Be a hearer and not a doer. Or being a hearer only and not a doer. You have to keep these things. And when you keep them, they work out of you. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. John 14:21. Verse 24 in John 14. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. And I had this conversation with a buddy the other day, to myself, to God, and said, I love you, God. And God responds, well, do you keep my word in your heart, in your mind, and on your lips? Well, I try, Lord. I try my best, but I always have this and that to do. I got this distraction, that distraction. If you don't keep my word, well, then how do you show me that you love me? Because my word says that you show me you love me by keeping my word. Well, I go to church. I do read, Lord. I help the lady across the street every time she needs help. I'm really busy doing a lot of good things. And God, what's he say? He who has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. Not that person that I just responded as. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. Do you love the Lord? You know, when I did this, prepared this, have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Because I say I love you, but I know I don't keep up to this the way I should. But thankfully, the victory is the Lord's. Thank God it's not dependent on me or you. But it is our responsibility to collect that word. There's nothing more valuable on this planet than that. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. John plasters this everywhere. Terry, you've been studying John. It's all over the place. Until you go looking for it, you might even miss it. and his commandments are not burdensome. How often do the commandments of God seem burdensome? Lay down your life. That's a burdensome thing to me, often. Difficult. And if they are burdensome and difficult, I can be assured that God is showing me that I'm living for myself. Because he says they are not burdensome. So every time I'm trying to do the right thing and it's burdensome, this is me and my filthy rags. Because God's not a liar. Continues on to verse 4 in 1 John 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And they overcame, Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. We have been crucified with Christ, yet we live. Now, are we living for self or in the faith of God? Have we overcome, or are we fighting battles against the flesh, our own and the people we care about in our lives? And these verses are such a great checkpoint for me. They reveal to me very clearly if I'm living in the victory of the resurrection power of Christ. Because whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Or am I attempting to fight problems on my own strength? If the commandments are burdensome to me, then I can be sure I have not left all of me on the cross with Christ. I'm still claiming a right to myself. Until I leave it all there on the cross, I can be assured for a long, drawn-out battle that I can't win. I'm gonna eventually admit and surrender to the Lord. And he's just going to wear me down, wear my flesh down. Until God utterly destroys the parts of me that are not of him. God does not care about my comfort, my riches, my wealth. He cares about conforming me into the image of his Son by any means necessary. So what are the means necessary in your life right now that you have going on? He's using this to conform you to his Son. There is no other purpose. Don't complain about it. Don't murmur about it. This is what it's for. Thank him for it. Yeah, and this is a victory that I can't attain to. It's a victory that's been given to me because it's his victory that he freely gives me, not my victory to present to him. Well, Lord, look what I did for you. Lord, I did my best and look what happened. Never works out. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, Ephesians 2:10. They've already been, like I said, they're ordained. They're in our lives today, right now. Do you recognize them? First John 3:22 and 23. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us. I don't think that's right. As he gave us commandment. I don't think I recorded that right, but that's the point of it. It says, whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So what is pleasing in God's sight? Like I said, our best efforts. Or trying really hard? Absolutely not. This is the mutilation of the gospel that we're to be warned of. That I know, I hear the teachings around on the internet and Facebook, and these are the teachings that they're teaching in self-help Christianity. It's a mutilation of the gospel. Philippians 3:2. He didn't choose us because we tried really hard or did our best. If you've been saved, truly been saved by grace, you realize you had no part of it. And having begun that way, we are not made perfect in the flesh. We are made perfect in that same order, knowing that we have nothing to do with it. Like in Deuteronomy 7:7, when God's talking about the Israelites, The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all people. Can you relate with that? At your salvation, the moment you accept Christ as your Savior, that you were just the least of all people. Lord, I have nothing for you. I hope that's how you realized you were saved. Because then I will have confidence in your salvation. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. He chose us. The weak things of this world. And I hope that that's how you see yourself. The only thing pleasing in his sight is his Son. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. These are the things when we ask, we receive. God's not a liar. He says, you ask of me and you'll receive. How many things have you asked that you have not received? Was that his Son asking or was that you? And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Never heard him say that about me. Never heard him say about you, Aunt Susan. Your amazing aunt. His Son. This is whom he is well pleased. And this is whom lives in us to do these things for us. And doing these things that are pleasing in his sight. The Son is the only thing that did anything that was pleasing in his sight. So our only doings that we can do is believing in the Son of, in his Son, Jesus, who the Father has sent and is well pleased with. Although that belief does have an infinite amount of number of works that can come out from it. I love that too. That there's one faith. But the works that come from that faith in everybody's life is so individual and made just for you. Created beforehand just for you to walk in. And they all come from that one source, Jesus. And it says, whatever we ask, we receive from him. But I've been asking and asking, Lord, and I haven't received. James 4:3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Are you asking for this and that according to his word, his Son? Now we can use Jesus' name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Oh, where is the verse? Psalms 138, where's Ty at? He has exalted his word above his name. Don't quote me. I think it's in Psalms 138. So we pray in the name of Jesus, but we need to pray according to the word. What he has said. Really consider this in your prayers when you're praying. Mom did that. We were talking last week and it was beautiful. She was praying for Susie and she so desperately wanted to pray in God's will. Just that desire. it's so moving to me. She didn't want to ask for the wrong thing. She wanted to be in perfect alignment with God's will. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Praying the right things in the right way for the right reasons. So buy truth and do not sell it. All wisdom, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Proverbs 23:23. We have to first buy the truth. And once it is purchased, we can't sell it for the lies of this world. Again, the Laodicean church, us. He counsels us to buy from him gold refined in the fire, that we may be rich, in white garments, that we may be clothed, that the shame of our nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint our eyes with eye salve, that we may see. And once we buy the word, there is a temptation to sell it because there is a cost. Have you counted the cost of the word of God in your life yet? Have you had to even consider that? Are we Sunday morning Christians that read the Bible and read a devotional every day? Or is this a lifestyle for you? Devoted, having your nail to that your ear to that cross. Have you counted the cost or do you go to God for him to serve you? Do often your prayers seem to ask amiss? Out of your lust? Of what he does for you and how he makes you feel? How careful we need to be. The cost. Luke 14, 25, 33. Now great multitudes went with him. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you that does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Can you tell me you're a disciple of God? Honestly, I can't. I desire to be. I want to be. He's going to finish the work in me that he started. There is a cost, and there's a temptation to sell it. Satan used the word of God like Terry taught on Sunday. He uses the word so you'll sell it. To buy from God is to lose and hate this life. In exchange for this life, we receive his life. There is a cost and not many are willing to do it. For many are called and few are chosen. So I ask you again, have you ever considered this cost in your life? Going to cost you your life, but the one you get in return. And this world has such a pull on us for happiness and contentment within itself, and it's all smoke and mirrors from the father of lies. This world that we have been crucified to, and the world that has been crucified to us, Galatians 6:14. But we say, if only I had this, if I had a better job, if I wasn't the way I am, if they weren't that way in this world, then I'd be happy, then I'd be content, then I would offer my life as a living sacrifice. This is a lie. For he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Are you faithful in what he's given you? Some of us have a lot of difficult things going on in our lives. Some of us don't right now. Seasons for everybody. But are you being faithful in it? It's the only thing required. Be faithful to your Lord. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Crucified to it. And if we can't be trusted with the least in this life, and believe me, I know some of these situations feel like the least, but you've been called to this. For such a time as this, you have been called to the kingdom. And if you're not willing to do it, relief will come from somewhere else, and you'll miss out on eternity, rewards for eternity. So buy the truth and do not sell it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world that he's been crucified to and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:26. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Job 28:28 says, and to man God has said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Proverbs 4, 5 through 15. Get wisdom, get understanding. This comes through the Word of God. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Get the word, get truth, get wisdom, get understanding, get instruction, so that we may please him who has enlisted us. We have been enlisted to a war, a spiritual battle. And God has enlisted each and every one of us to be his soldiers. Some of us are on the battlefield. Some of us are protecting the supplies, like in 1 Samuel 30:23. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered us into our hand the troops that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. This is when the Amalekites came and plundered David's wives and all the people and took them. Nobody got killed. Nothing got lost. But the wicked men, what says, the useless men, the wicked men that went down to fight came back and wanted to keep the spoils for themselves. And David said, this is not so. And like, and in these spiritual battles, there's some of us on the front lines and there's some of us at home safe praying. We're all going to receive the same reward because we're all in this together. But unfortunately, many of us think we are in a battle or protecting the supplies, but we're being deceived because we have been entangled with the affairs of this life. Being busybodies, saying things we should not, and getting involved in the affairs of other people, getting involved in the affairs of things that pertain to this life. Yeah, but Lord, I live in this world. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted him. Ephesians 6:2, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So how often in the spiritual warfare that you're involved in, are you bringing into the affairs of this physical life? Wrestling against the flesh and blood of your mind? Of the people that you love and care about? You know, I think about if a soldier's at war, and he's in gunfight, and he's thinking about his wife and children at home at that moment, he is very susceptible to enemy fire. Our focus needs to get off the things of this life and on to Christ. Matthew 13:22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, then the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. It says a soldier of Jesus does not get entangled with things concerned of this earth. We're probably even aware half of the time when we're taken off the battlefield. When we are tangled in the thoughts of this world, we are not pleasing God who enlisted us. We should not consider ourselves, since God is not a considerer of our persons, just as he was not with Jesus. God did not consider his flesh when he sent him to the cross. And are we being trained to endure hardships and to be thankful in all things, knowing God's will is going to be manifested in our life when we get out of the way? Are you being trained or are you complaining? Training or complaining? Is the wrestling in our mind self-inflicted? Because God's given us his completeness when we put on his mind and step out of ours. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the word of God. We have it in this book. So how much of this book do you possess? How much of this book have you made your own? Soldiers of Christ. Well, only when we're not entangled in the affairs of this world can we be that. Back to the lukewarm church. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know who he's talking to? Christians that don't need the word. Because if you don't know, realize your need for the word of God in your life, to know it and to keep it, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked as a believer. So now look at your situations in your life, whatever they may be. Are you being a good soldier for Christ? I know often I've been taken off the battlefield. And what is required of you to be a good soldier of Christ? Believe. Believe in the Son who the Father has sent. Believe the Word of God. Have faith. And faith comes from hearing, hearing from the Word of God. Only believe. Luke 8:41-42. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to the house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. And we go on, and the woman with the flow of blood for 12 years. And even her daughter, she was healed because she grasped at the hem of his, at the hem. Be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. She just believed if she did this. And continuing on, verses 49 through 55. While he was still speaking, Jesus, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. Only believe. It seems like, oh, only do this thing. All I can do is believe. That's the only thing you can do. To do the work and the will of God is to believe in the Son. And how do you believe in something you don't know? If you don't know this word, you don't know God. Study it like your life depends on it. Here's one that's pretty personal to me. Luke 11:37-40. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind... not this one. That's Mark 9. This is Martha and Mary. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? If you would believe. Not do or try, but believe. Mark 9:21 is the one that's personal to me. So he asked his father, Jesus asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. So I'll give a little testimony here. In this story, I can see the story of my life and my parents. I can hear Jesus asking them, how long has Greg been like this? Well, I probably started around 14 years old. From childhood. And as the young man in this account, the spirit of addiction attempted many times to cast me into the fire and into the water in order to kill me. Now, just as the father of this child cried out to the Lord, I can see my parents pleading with Jesus. We believe for our son. Help us when we stumble in our faith. In what we see in him. By what we see in here, help us when we stumble. We believe, Lord, but help our unbelief. And I can hear Jesus telling them, believe, and it is possible to have this spirit defeated in Greg's life. And only through faith are these spirits defeated. It's not about fixing them and making and getting them off the drugs and getting them out of that, whatever sin it is. Only by faith. If you only believed, and if you truly believed, the word of God will work out in your life. The spirit is powerful, but the word of God tells us this spirit was defeated like every other sin that we have committed as men and women on the cross, and has no authority over the ones that we love. We are to put all our trust in the victory won for us by Jesus, not in the lost, not in the deaf and the dumb. How's a deaf and dumb person going to hear or speak truth? But in Jesus. We want to help and fix these people caught in the death of sin. We want to fix dead people because it'll make our lives easier. And by doing this, we hinder the work of God. To do the work of God is to believe in the Son. Did I not tell you? Jesus continually groans at us. Like he did with Lazarus and the people. He groaned in the spirit. He groaned at them because of their lack of belief. If you only believed, you will see the glory of God. And I'm not saying that every prayer you have and every person is going to be healed or delivered. But I can promise you this because of the word of God says it. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. And that will be enough. And as in this story, Christ took me by the hand and lifted me up. Because of my parents who believed for me, he told the spirit of addiction never to enter me again. It held me captive and made me deaf and dumb, not being able to hear God's truth. Yet my parents brought me to Jesus and believed for me. When I cannot believe for myself. Can't expect somebody to have faith that doesn't have the word, doesn't have faith. But man, God wants to reward faith so desperately. He just wants us. He doesn't want to sigh us. He wants to look at us and say, look at my servant. Look how they believe despite everything they see and hear. You can hear the crowds too. He is dead. He'll never change. These are the temptations you have when you're going to walk in faith in a situation like this. The people around you, the thoughts in your mind, the Absalons in your mind, you're going to say, you're right. He's never going to change. He's always going to be that way. Once that way, always that way. He has to want to help himself. It's a mutilation of the gospel. Dead men can't fix themselves, can't help themselves. Yeah, it looks hopeless because expectations are based on sight and familiarity. It's hopeless. And not on the resurrection power of Christ. So where are you at with the powers and principalities that you are fighting against? Are you just saying, Lord, I know that if I only believe that I will see your glory in this? Are you frustrated and angry and burdened by the commands of God? Are you wrestling with flesh and blood? And this doesn't mean that the situations, like I said, change the way you want them to. But the promise is that if we will believe, we would see the glory of God. And to see the glory of God is enough. We can read about plenty of accounts of men have seen the glory of God. Woe is me, for I am done, for I have seen the glory of God. Holy, holy, holy. There's no room for anything else when God's there. There's no room for you. And that glory is too much for any one of us to witness in its fullness in these earthen bodies. But nonetheless, he does promise to show us his glory if we only believe. Yeah, we're good. Job 26:14. I'll end with this. And indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways. He studied this word for a lifetime, and you just hit the edges. That's it. And how small a whisper we actually hear of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? Terry, how much do you know about the word? Just the mere edges, right? You've been doing this for 30 years, 40? No, the mere edges. All right, let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the listeners tonight. And Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Show us where we lack faith, Lord, so we can give it to you, so we can thank you for revealing these things to us. Lord, not out of guilt and shame, but as in gratitude to you for what you've done for us on the cross. Lord, bless the fellowship tonight. And again, we lift up our pastor and his wife and his two beautiful children, Lord, that, Lord, we believe that we will see your glory in this. In Jesus we pray, amen. And bless the offering.